Dominabitur asterisk.
We knew iconography and we knew process. We knew culture. We need a safe economy for possibility to be part of life, not a privilege of the exceptional. I think simply we can cut out a few simple paths towards a workaround around the authority model, the costly economy and its waste and products, its waste products, and our competition narrative. You know, it's part of the whole authority identity thing. It springs from it. But it's like, somehow we have it inside of ourselves to sabotage ourselves. It's Wetico. We know better, but we do anyways. Is there a bargain? Are we bargaining through this? Are we gonna come out? Happy customers? Or are we gonna come out self-directed individuals? Just the words we use to describe ourselves and our situation are like so hitched to our spectrum of possibility. Just talking to people about organization and about the way we make decisions and about what technologies exist is daunting. People are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to have anything to do with it. They're Luddites and they don't realize it. They use Facebook like it is like a tag board or whatever. You know, they post something on it and then they look at it or whatever. They look at something else, something that somebody posted on it. They don't have a dynamic relationship with this thing. It is simply like, you know, it's like a read and write file. That's as far as it goes. And sometimes the interactions become more dynamic and are surrender to its ubiquity is inevitable because those are the channels of communication. Everything behind it is being closed up. We don't realize that it's just because they're atrophying. And somehow it's like there's a whole population caught in the middle, and it's a push-pull game of tug of war, and to some cat and mouse. And right now it feels like the hierarchy model is trying to exert itself both on the grounds of its want and necessity, as well as its necessity of the critical imperative what that imposes, what having to survive is, power is, what the mechanism of power does for survival for these people that have low survival capabilities. You know, they're not autonomous and they're not linked through mutual support. It's a... it's a sad state of affairs. Because they're not even seeing themselves in the... like, the sidelong side. Where they're looking, they're trying to look busy to justify their own worth. And it's like a catch-22 of perception. We can't even talk about it like they're being these busybodies that, like, somehow in the back of whatever processes are exacting this manipulation that strips a lot of people of their ability to determine what's important to them and what's economical for them, as well as the rubric of prioritization twixt all this, the furthest realms of necessity and the tightest clearances of personal identity and external valuation. It costs a lot for the individual just to try to evaluate their own circumstances. And if the language isn't geared towards personal evaluation, but material evaluation, people don't have a clear-cut idea of what they're even feeling, or even a language to describe what it is they're experiencing. Because it's all reduced to the denominator of, you know, how much their Slurpee costs at the gas station, or... oh my gosh, it's like Connecticut Yankee often. Feeling like one's from the future because they have a different grasp of the scale of working economies and an outsider's picture of these working cultural dynamics, because, you know, when you're not allowed to take part, you start to look at what it is that's happening instead of how you can work it for your own advantage. And really, the closest thing to an advantage that I seek is control over my prioritization of my workload. And given the excesses of the entrenched powers, allocation of resources for their proposed workload, I can't requite my ethical imperative with their, like, moral high ground narrative. And I see it as, like, the branching of nodes, or, like, eliminating fork, eliminate fork, grab on spork, future. That gives itself up to what has yet to come. We have a serious side, and we have a silly side. A
But then again, we have other sides too. And that's like a graphing of forks. And in certain circumstances, we want to prune the bifurcations. Other times, I don't see why we can't take both of those as the branching of a limb. So, maybe our culture could, like, open itself up in this way of communication and collaborative consumption to create a more dynamic and responsive and accommodating culture towards these different ideas of identity and self-direction without allowing for like the runaway control factor. We have to be able to initiate like some kind of redress and deferment because there is no trust. And we can use modern technology to develop something that looks like voluntary contracting and a decentralized verification of each other's both credentials and identities, even if that identity is in flux, which is okay. It would allow us for to defer when there is maybe one opinion at one time and another opinion at another time, or in two different places, which, you know, we don't need to get into that. Spatio-temporal physics. Let's look at how the hash graph eliminates forks by determining the interrelations of the, I guess, logging of iterations of points along an experiential timeline. You know, like, here we go. At different points, it's chronicled based on eyes on the object, eyes on the conceptual entity, eyes on the problem, and there's points of verification along the way to make sure that at no point a runaway fork can be sequestered and essentially, you know, like, reprogrammed or directed in some way, much like how on agendas there are line items, and those are given priority within a forum or within a system or process simply based on the fact that they've been addressed and vocalized. And in our current situation where it's all paper shuffling and bureaucracy, we don't have the amount of eyes on the problem verifying that this is well understood, well communicated, and well depicted. And it doesn't have to be, you know, uncontentious. You know, there can be things to be disputed. That's the point. it just has to be consensually verified that it's evaluable. In situations where there's time constraints, I guess we should probably have some sort of automated deferment, be that an individual or a council or a virtual actor protocol of some sort. A bot. We're all hardworking. We all have intentions. We all have different ideas of how things are supposed to go. What we don't have is equal access to a consistent modeling process that gives us foresight into what results may come after or as a result of initiated processes, purpose endeavors, and such. Try as we might, there are these social aspects which we can't pin down, whether it be someone's true intentions or nominal goals being consistent with their description of their identity as related to their description of their intention, as related to their description of their understanding of their relationship to society and to individual, in the instance of municipal bureaucracies, the receivers or essentially the customers of this service, which is the government process. Getting all the different aspects of jurisdiction and seemingly need fulfillment and harm reduction. And harm reduction as relation in its relationship to the jurisdictional priorities of these essentially sovereign actors in their positions as positions. Does a judge stop being a judge when they leave the courtroom? Or is that something integrated into their own process and maybe even physical ideation of the way that they exact their own processes, the things they do, the places they go, the stuff they buy, and the way they move their body? Things they put in their body. Because if there's some kind of aspect of that that gives them some specialness that sets them aside from society, why is that not propagated, and why are we not all encouraged to have that? Because wouldn't that somehow be a factor that instills order or responsibility, self-direction? Because it doesn't seem like any of these people have anything inherently different about them or any special skills. Often, there's even distance because of their specialization. And I think that, like, there's some kind of transmissible, transmittable
communicable.
Meta understanding that we could convey through semiotic interactions. We have to get beyond the surface. We have to get beyond the fact that there is some actors and some subjects or consumers and producers, which is obviously a factor, but the distinct lines that can't help but be looked at as classist or apartheid or what is the Indian thing? There's a different class system in India. I know there's a word for it. The idea that for some reason certain people have inherent authority, or now that they are authorities, their authority is based on something that's inherent, not the fact that they've been elevated to that authority or put in that position of what we regard as seemingly great responsibility. Has to be regarded by at least some in those positions as just what they're doing. Or maybe by even more as something they have to do. Must be done. And I don't understand the true value of being unassailable when I know how easy it is to just not have the time to be fully versed or simply have made a rash decision or made the best decision you could have given all this information and your best efforts and best intentions, and still yielded low results because you have limited ability, power, or finances. You know, there's various reasons. And the simple fact that crowdsourcing or collaboration seems to be so darned effective, I don't understand why we celebrate the bizarro narrative of power that we have going on that doesn't really lend itself to anything other than like a nostalgia for this feeling we maybe are not sure we're supposed to get rid of. It's been there so long. But maybe it's a last gasp and we're just seeing, like, it's like the smoker who's like, I'm drunk, I'm gonna smoke. I quit smoking a couple months ago. I just had a... Why did I ever smoke those? And you just gotta know. So maybe everything that's going on right now is a last gasp of people trying on this authority model. And those of us who don't like the authority model have to make it so the new operation and the new way of communicating is also inherently egalitarian, in that we're building consensus of a language, I guess, as well as, like, the protocol itself has to lend itself
to that ability to be seen and be interacted with on all scales at any point in the timeline, so that if X, Y, or Z in X, Y, or Z place sees this, A, B, C, or D in A, B, C, or D place is seeing that it's being seen by X, Y, or Z wherever, whenever, and we're all able to reference each other, and we'll be minimizing the notations of these interactions without being swamped by the stack factor. Because one of our biggest problems, it seems right now, is the overabundance of choices that we're really unprepared for handling while still being barraged somehow by similar factors that seem to only add up to a minimum of choices in regards to directing decision making and referencing the valuation system and cracking the hard problem of war. Because a lot of times that's really what's happening, is that through disagreement, subtle war is waged to perpetuate hierarchical models. I think we're standing on the doorway. I just think that we have so much to look at that the idea of having the choice is better to many than making the choice. And perhaps if the real choice to be made is simply for a new operating system with inherent benefits, it'd be better than giving people choice after choice after choice after choice of, hey, how do you feel about policy, 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 non-issue, non-issue, policy, abstract concept, bizarre interrelation, financial policy that has little bearing on right now, all the trappings of being taken away by a now issue, when what we most crave is security in order to make sound decisions based on our, you know, ability to create security so that we have a place to evaluate like our survival processes and stuff, you know. I'm safe. What did I do good today? What did I do wrong today? What am I going to do tomorrow? What do I have to do tomorrow? Allow the body to say what needs to be done and what needs to come. And there's a lot of micromanagement from the top down telling us that many of our decisions are to be made for us, when in reality, that probably actually feels wrong inherently to many people, but they can't place it because it's just been how it has been. People are used to life costing a lot. So much that reducing costs sounds like doing something new.
but really it's us stripping away excess. And from the point of security, being able to evaluate what needs to come next, what needs to happen for us to work around our adversity. Right now, the biggest adversity that we face is trust. We have environmental factors, which are our fault in rapidly getting out of our control, but it's only going to be exacerbated by feuding. The inability to create consensus around the valuation, ideation of problems and their solutions, viability of the solutions, and a lot of people don't see viability in many solutions, so they stick to what they're used to and what they're used to dealing with. And so, like, a myopic universe is apparent. And if seeing more becomes an adversity, well, let's work around that. The place we're at, the time we're in, the selves we seem to be to ourselves and each other right now, are probably in flux for just about everyone, in that we don't trust each other, but we want to trust each other because we want to feel safe. And if we do, then we can go on to other things. But right now, simply trust itself is a big issue. So, how do we build trust without any reason to? Because right now, all we have reason to do is dispute. Confusing. It's confusing to just be. So I could see that that could rapidly degenerate into a situation where it's perpetual and the trust goes on and on and on. I see the Star Trek alternate universe now not as a neat story, or even a neat storytelling mechanism, but actually an allegory for within our familiarity, within this familiar universe, there's this other thing. There's the struggle for power. And the struggle for power is like an inversion within the sphere. And the power dynamics of our society are reflected in that awful universe. Whereas the pragmatism of rational approach and deliberate, like, you know, being an effective agent in the universe, like the Starfleet model, is kind of like two sides of the same coin, or like inside and outside the sphere. And whereas one is the projection of efficiency and wholesomeness or rationality, the other one is the depiction of this egotistical, self-directed, I don't know what the word is, you know, it's like the person who only answers to themselves. That's the Biff Tannen universe. It's Donald Trump universe, and everything's so blatant, yet it's this hall of mirrors, this world of lies, this area of aggression, and it's pervasive within that space. I think the way that we get out of that dark space is by unifying. Because the Federation of Planets is that thing in both universes. It's what holds the effort together. In one, it's the resistance, and in one, it's so pervasive that it has its own distinct problems that look like life's problems. I think we can learn from it, but I think we can also emulate that experience. We can emulate the transporter accident of Kirk by seeing ourselves as this, like, fearful and savage two selves. And we can see ourselves as these chameleons trying to stay unseen in a savage landscape. And we can also see the unrelenting an uncompromising effort to get out of the situation, which as part of the allegory is the self losing the self to save the self. And these people coming so close to becoming what they don't want to be, betraying their ethical standards, or, you know, just having to walk that line of have to act like this other thing just to get along within this place. And it's very much what it feels like to go from navigating society to negotiating in, for instance, city council. You see what's underneath and how ugly it is. But you don't know, by any practical standing, what it actually is to these other people that are enacting it and engaging it. It's like this whole other world. And so, I'm Starfleet, and I'm holding to my ethics to hold this whole effort together in both universes. And in order to navigate both, you've got to gain literacy in those two entirely different universes and somehow translate one to the other and make them traversable through discoverable process. We can do this. We can work together. We can work together with the most greedy, confused, selfish, and savage an don't know how to talk them into it yet. I don't know how to game them. But the more we try, the closer we are gonna get. Because gaming them isn't like being played the way they have this game going that we're essentially victims of. Gaming them is making it more fun to play our game than theirs. Or even sinking our game into theirs and then sweeping theirs away. Systematically, so that what they see slowly transforms into what we need. There's already a climate of fear. So I think we, as vanguards, need to be dancing around society in scary masks. While dancing around society in scary masks to scare away the aspects beyond society that are encroaching on what really is to be civilized. And that is security for possibility. And like the Industrial Revolution secured a great deal, it then became its own problem. And we're now dealing with its fallout and excess because we haven't had ubiquitous abundance in that secure realm where we feel good about what we have going on. It perpetuated the narrative of escalation, the perpetual growth paradigm. And that you can never get enough success. And that's the foundation of success. And obviously that's not working for all of us. So let's take a step back and use our technology to create a conversation, to create a way of life that meets needs, that objectively identifies nominal goals and appropriate and effective means of achieving those goals to promote more security so that we stand better to evaluate and perpetually aggregate needs, resources, ideas and ways to deal with those adversities and streamline the process to where people have themselves to such a degree that they have a moment to think about what's important, and to think about what this feels like, and experience life without the constant fear of constancy.